Welcome to Tashma, the podcast where you get to listen in on Hadar's Beit Midrash. This year, every week, we will hear a Devar Torah on the Parsha from Rabbi Tali Adler. Let's listen.
After Paro's first refusal, after the Jewish people's burden increases because of his words, Moshe can't imagine redemption. But Moshe appealed to God, saying, "The Israelites would not listen to me. How then should Paro heed me who gets tongue-tied?" We are used to this. Moshe is terrified of his mission. He is scared of doing more harm than good. He cannot yet fully believe in the God who speaks to him or in his promises. We're so used to his refusals that, skimming through another one, we might miss that instead of giving him an answer, God simply commands Moshe to go. And because we are primed to skip these moments, we might miss that where we might look for God's answer, the Torah instead tells us Moshe's family history in the form of a genealogy. So God spoke to both Moshe and Aaron in regard to the Israelites and Paro, king of Egypt, instructing them to deliver the Israelites from the land of Egypt. The following are the heads of their respective clans. The sons of Reuven, Israel's firstborn, Hanoch and Palu, Chetzron and Carmi, those are the families of Reuven. And Aaron's son Elazar took into his house as wife one of Putiel's daughters, and she bore him Pinchas. Those are the heads of the ancestral houses of the Levites by their families. It is the same Aaron and Moshe to whom God said, "Bring forth the Israelites from the land of Egypt, troop by troop." Why does the Torah omit God's answer to Moshe and place a genealogy here instead? Perhaps this genealogy is actually the answer Moshe needs in this moment. Moshe, rejected by the Israelites, needs reassurance. Despite the fact that he might feel like an outsider, he is in fact one of them. He is part of their story, and they are a part of his. Even if they reject him, his ancestral ties to the people demand that he return and try again. But maybe in addition to representing an obligation, the genealogy also represents reassurance. Moshe, at this moment, feels unable to face the task before him. In recounting Moshe's ancestry, the Torah offers a reminder that Moshe is not alone. He has a history to draw on in this moment of paralysis. He has ancestors who lived and endured before him. He comes from people who faced dark nights and impossible situations and still persevered. The genealogy is not a digression where we would expect God's reply. Instead, it is a form of reply itself. Remember who you are. Remember the people that you come from. And when you feel that you have no strength of your own, draw on the knowledge that you have inherited theirs. Moshe's experience of drawing strength from his history parallels a practice that allowed the Jewish people to endure their enslavement, a sort of proto-Torah study the people engaged in weekly. A Midrashic tradition notices a dramatic phrase at the beginning of this week's Parsha when God first sends Moshe to reassure the Jewish people that, despite Moshe's disastrous meeting with Paro, they will still be redeemed. The Jewish people, however, do not listen. But when Moshe told this to the Israelites, they would not listen to Moshe, their spirits crushed by cruel bondage. Why are the Jews now unable to listen when previously they could? What does it mean that their spirits were crushed? The Midrash answers, "Therefore they cry, saying, 'Let heavier work be imposed upon the men.' This teaches that they had scrolls in their possession in which they would delight every Shabbat that said that the Holy Blessed One would redeem them. Because they rested on Shabbat, Paro said to them, 'Let heavier work be imposed upon the men, that they will labor in it, and let them not regard, let them not delight, and let them not rest on the Shabbat day.'" Noticing the unusual word yish'u, pay attention, the Midrash links it to a similar sounding word, mishta'ashin, delight, and explains that Paro, in addition to increasing the Jewish people's labor, is removing a source of delight by denying them rest on Shabbat, the day on which they would find delight in the scrolls that they would read. The brief Midrash paints a picture in which the Jewish people are sustained by words. Once a week, the Jewish people gather to hear words of hope, words which promised a redemption. In this telling, resilience is built one Shabbat at a time. Hundreds of years in Egypt are survived week by week, scroll by scroll. While the Midrash does not tell us exactly what the scrolls contain, the Maharzu imagines that they might contain stories of the ancestors of the Jews in Egypt, a sort of proto-Breishit. The scrolls contained all the words of the Book of Breishit, the stories of Adam and Noah and the Flood and Migdal Bavel, and the stories of the patriarchs and of all the prophecies and promises made to them. One imagines the people poring over the texts, remembering their national journey. Perhaps they grieve when they read the story of the world destroyed by the flood. Perhaps they hold their breath as they come to the end of the book, an exile as they hear the final words, "God will surely redeem you." The stories the Jewish people read week after week are not simply a distraction from their troubles. They are a source of strength and hope. Reading the stories, the Jewish people are reminded of their history. They remember what their ancestors have endured, and they understand themselves as part of a greater story. Like Moshe at the beginning of our parsha, they draw strength from their family history. The fact that their ancestors endured difficulty and survived to build a people means that they too have that strength. The story of that chain of survival and the belief that sustained it gives them the ability to endure. Sometimes the world around us is too dark for us to imagine a better future. Some days it is impossible to imagine the day after or to hope that it can possibly bring anything good. In those moments, what we need isn't assurance about the future. Sometimes what we need instead is a story of who we are and how we've gotten this far. In those moments, the most important thing we can do is recite to ourselves the names of those who came before us and to remember that they saw darker nights than these. And on those nights, those whispered names, that incantation, can create the spark that allows us to dream of the day that will follow.
Our producers for this episode are Sam Greenberg, Chana Kupetz, and Jeremy Tabak. Thank you to Nadav Remez for editing this episode. I'm your host, Rabbi Avi Killip. It's been a pleasure to learn with you.